We're told over 200 years ago, the Swiss musician, writer, and publisher Hans-Georg Nägeli of Zurich acquired what he surely considered an incredibly valuable trophy. He had purchased from the estate of Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach the unpublished manuscript of a Latin mass of unprecedented scale in the hand of CPE's father. As a publisher, Nägeli was a businessman who wanted to put his investment to work. Therefore, he planned to make the mass available in print for the first time. And after careful planning, he advertised the publishing project in 1818. The public announcement referred to Bach's composition as the greatest musical work of art of all times and nations, an astonishing assertion made at a time when the works of Mozart had already become a permanent feature of the musical landscape and when Beethoven's contemporary fame was at its peak. By comparison, conceptions of Johann Sebastian Bach in the early 19th century among the musical public were hazy, the most common being that the composer, best known as the author of the Well-Tempered Clavier, was a supreme master of fugue. Nägeli's statement about the greatest musical work of art of all times and nations was essentially an intuitive judgment, for he had not seen anything like it before. A present-day critic would certainly avoid such superlatives. Nevertheless, it remains remarkable that the leading music publishers of the day, Breitkopf and Hertel and C.F. Peters, both of Leipzig, did not file any objections. In fact, all of them had begun to make money out of Bach editions. Even Beethoven himself, a notorious complainer who, after all, happened to be at work on his Missa Solemnis, remained quiet and, curiously, contacted Breitkopf, asking if the firm could send him Bach's Mass. Nägeli's use of the phrase, of all times and nations, was deliberate, as he was not the first to apply it to Bach. He was merely echoing a statement made almost 40 years earlier by Johann Friedrich Reichardt, who, in 1781, announcing the forthcoming Breitkopf edition of Bach's four-part chorales as works by the greatest harmonist of all times and all nations. The elevation above and beyond all times and all nations of a single author, Johann Sebastian Bach, let alone a single work of art, the B minor Mass, remains, however, a most unusual affair. Yet it fits the early idolization of Bach and the normative standards set by him, symptomatically expressed by the aging Haydn, who in 1799 referred to Bach as the man from whom all true musical wisdom proceeded. Words of Bach scholar Christoph Wolff about the master and his B minor Mass. Wolff seems to be saying that despite the over-the-top superlatives of Hans-Georg Nägeli about the Mass, the work is a consummate example of Bach's art and craft and a towering achievement in the tradition of Western classical music. And in today's parlance, it's a very big deal. It is a very big deal when we have an opportunity to hear a performance of the Mass in B minor by Bach. And the 38th annual Northeast Pennsylvania Bach Festival, presented by the Arcadia Chorale, will culminate in a choral concert on Sunday, March 30th in Scranton that features Bach's Mass. Matthew Rupsich, Arcadia's music director and conductor, stopped in at the Benko Studio to tell us about this year's festival and what's on offer.
When the Robertdale Chorale was formed with Bob Herrema at its reins, he decided in early spring, late winter, early spring, to perform actually Bach's B minor Mass. And it was received so well that the following year, the chorale decided to make this an annual event. And then it has expanded into involving an organ concert as well as a chamber music concert besides the choral concert. And that has been going on for now decades. So we're very fortunate that this community supports such a festival in the area.
All of the performers featured at any given Bach festival, they're always the finest musicians who can be gathered together. The organist for the organ recital, the chamber players under Tom Hines' direction for the chamber concert, and of course the soloists, the chorale themselves, the orchestral players bring us these remarkable works.
Absolutely. We're fortunate that in this area we have great singers as well as great instrumentalists working independently or through our universities here. And so we're lucky that we are able to collaborate, combine together to create these master works together. You mentioned the Chamber Music Festival. What's nice about our Chamber Music Festival, these players are coming out of the Arcadia Festival Orchestra that will provide the orchestra for the Bach B Minor Mass. So these individuals will be performing on the Saturday evening of the festival, and they're doing a very varied program under the artistic direction of Thomas Hines, who is a retired school teacher as well as he taught at Marywood. And through his leadership and his partnerships with players in the area, he has planned a beautiful program for Saturday evening, which includes some Scottish fiddle tunes, which are great. That'll be done by Sophie Till, as well as Christian Oppenheimer Vida. We will have an Austrian composer represented by Eric Kornhold. A suite of his is going to be performed by John Michael Vida, who's a violinist, with Tsukasa Mitsuguchi-Waltich at the piano. And this suite is really interesting. It's incidental music set to Shakespeare's Much Ado About Nothing. So that piece also is, if I'm not mistaken, it's quite large. I want to say 13 or maybe to 20 movements, and he's only selected four to pull from that. We're also doing a trio, Terzetto, a trio from Gustav Holst, English composer, Eduardo, who's a flautist in the area, as well as Greg Holst, and Harold Levin on viola will be coming together to form that trio to do this Holst. And we end the program for the chamber music concert with a quite large piece, the Quintet in F by Theodore Dubois. This is a French composer, and I say large, it is a grand piece. I'm hearing from the instrumentalists the amount of time that they are spending to put this piece together. They are feeling the excitement of how large it is. It's a statement of a work. We have Peggy McAdams on violin, Tom Hines, as I mentioned, on oboe. We have Harold Levin on viola, Gail Klaber cello, and then also Tsukasa will be joining again on piano. So it's a nice program that is at 7:30 on the Saturday evening of our festival.
And you have the wonderful base of operations in Scranton, if we can put it that way, for this concert and the choral concert at the Covenant Presbyterian Church, which is an exquisite setting, both acoustically and visually.
Absolutely. I mean, we're so fortunate. We would call, Arcadia Chorale would call Covenant Presbyterian Church our home. We rehearse there. We give many performances there, and we're grateful for that partnership and that collaboration relationship we have with them. It's really wonderful. So yeah, we're performing there for the Chamber Music Festival as well as for the Mass. And we're doing something different with our performance with the Mass because the amount of people, the troops that will perform for this piece, we're not going to be typical up on the chancel because it's too small for us. We have to come down, so we'll be on the floor of the sanctuary. And so that'll include our orchestra, 20-plus piece orchestra, as well as the Arcadia Chorale. And something I'm also excited to mention is that we have invited the chamber singers from Wilkes University under Dr. Joshua Harper's leadership, and they will be joining the Arcadia Chorale in the performance of the Mass, the B Minor Mass, for the Sunday afternoon concert.
To prepare us for this monumental work, you have added a talk so that we can get some sense of why this is such a monumental work.
Absolutely. So we're lucky to have a connection to Dr. Sarah Davies. Dr. Sarah Davies is actually the sister of Lou Miller, who is on the Arcadia Board of Directors, as well as he's an outstanding bass in the bass section, and a longtime member of the ensemble. Sarah has her PhD from New York University. And in that, she's an independent scholar. She's a performer. She plays organ. She now lives in Florida, in Miami. She has given papers internationally. She has performed internationally. And she reached out to us to see if we would be interested in having her. And we did jump on the occasion because of her skill sets and what she could do. And her focus on her talk, the title of her talk is Bach's Missa Tota, The Creation of a Legacy. And what she is going to spend time on talking about is, you know, where did the Mass come from? Many of us know that is considered Bach's last greatest choral work that he wrote towards the end of his life. And the lecture will explore ways in which Bach created this 26 movement masterpiece on the text of an ordinary Mass, and how he assembled this piece using different musical styles and orchestrations and dances and formats to create this piece. And Sarah is going to be talking about that and giving us that background to, say, prep us for the performance of the Mass the following day.
So when we experience it perhaps even more deeply or more richly.
Absolutely. I mean, the Mass is a huge work. I mean, it's a 2-hour in length work, which would never have been performed within a liturgical service for that reason. So it is written in many ways for a performance. Unfortunately, Bach never heard the piece in its entirety in his lifetime. So it is nice to have someone like Dr. Davies come in to give us a little history, to talk about structure and form, so we better understand the piece. We know what we need to listen for or listen to. And that allows then a novice listener, as well as a seasoned listener, to be able to pull away from different movements of what actually to concentrate on, what to understand, and maybe to then understand the larger picture of the Mass and how it comes together.
Can you introduce us, please, to Trent Johnson?
So I'm excited about Mr. Trent Johnson. I need to share that Trent and I went to college together. We went to college together at Peabody Conservatory in 1986 to 90. He was an organ major. I was a voice music education major. And Trent and I have remained in touch through the years. And he actually played a concert for me many years ago with my group in Rockland County that I had at the time. And we did the Dorifly Requiem together, and he played the organ. Trent is a fine musician, a great organist, and I was excited to have the opportunity to invite him to come and celebrate the organ concert that we have on Saturday afternoon at 4 p.m. He will be playing at the Elm Park United Methodist Church, their grand organ that they have there. And he has provided, I think, a really nice, diverse program for that concert. He's doing Bach works, including the G major Fantasy, BWV 572. He's also doing the Toccata, Adagio, and Fugue in C major, the BWV 563, and another Bach piece. So it's grounded in Bach works and his organ music. And then he's also added a piece by African-American composer George Walker, entitled Elevation from Three Pieces for Organ. He's also added an English composer, Kenneth Leighton, a piece called Bien. And what I think is lovely that Trent is doing at the end of his program is he's bringing his own compositions to the Bach Festival. So he's performing three pieces for organ. One is called A Grotesque March, Serenity, and Toccata on Endelberg. What's interesting about the Grotesque March, Trent Johnson describes it as a march that could be likened to the often incongruous and misshapen grotesque statues that we see or figures found in art, architecture, as well as maybe art, and that this work can be described as a distorted or fantastical realization of a march. So I'm really curious to hear what that sounds. I have some images in my mind, so I'm really curious how that will come to fruition. And the piece Serenity is one of 10 new works that Mr. Johnson wrote during the COVID pandemic when he was on his own. And it evokes feelings of contemplation, repose, dreaminess, and also some peaceful serenity. So I'm really looking forward to welcoming my college friend back and buddy and wonderful musician to come and perform for us here at the festival.
Tell us then how it came about that you all have been able to decide to do the B minor Mass.
Last year, during our Christmas programming around 2023, we were visited by Robert Dale Harima. He wanted to come back and visit us, visit the chorale, and attend a concert. during that time and space, he was suggesting and offering and wanting to have conversations about making a donation to the chorale in honor of his late wife, Joyce. And he saw our concert and he asked us if we would establish the Joyce Hirama Memorial Fund. And of course we said yes. He was a large contributor to that fund. And he asked if we would do the Bach B minor Mass in honor of his late wife and in honor of his, you know, contribution coming to the ensemble. We agreed and we thought that it was the right time, the right place. We had the forces, the talent, and the resources, especially with Bob's generous gift. So we decided to move forward in that process. As we moved forward in that process with Bob's connection to education, because he taught at Marywood University for a long time, I wanted to see if we could collaborate with another institution. And as I mentioned, I have invited the chamber singers from Wilkes University to join us. And we have a long history with Wilkes University, Arcadia Chorale, because of our late director, Dr. Seaman Thomas, was director of choral activities there, as well as the chair of the music department and performing arts department there. And I have done some teaching there as well. And with Dr. Joshua Harper, we talked and we said that, you know, this is the right time, so let's move forward with it. So that's how the fruition and how we planted those seeds to make this concert possible.
Did you have to start preparing even earlier than you might have done with other performances?
Well, you would think we would have, but we did not, simply because we had, you know, large programs in the fall and then in the winter. I was also, you know, lucky. Many of the singers of the chorale have sung it before. I'm not also saying that it's in their back pocket and they could whip it out and be able to sing it perfectly, but having that institutional knowledge of the ensemble also reassured me that we could more than likely use our allotted time that we typically have, and we have. And rehearsals are going great. Things are going very well.
As we hear, maybe Art of Fugue is the kind of consummation, as if Bach is leaving a masterwork for the future. Do you get a sense that that's the kind of work this is?
Oh, absolutely. So the B minor Mass, in many ways, is a compendium of many different styles of vocal composition. It includes Stile Antico, reminiscent of Renaissance music, includes Gregorian chant. It has Baroque concertante style of during its own time. There's fugal writing, dances. It has arias. It has duets. The chorus movements are divided from a four-part choir, five-part choir, six-part choir, and also an eight-part choir, which is done in a double chorus format. That's in the Osanna movement. The piece also calls for a rich instrumentation for the work, including brass, woodwinds, and strings, and assigning varied obbligato parts to different movements for, I'll say, solo opportunities, oboe, violin, corno da caccio, just wonderful. It's a summation of all these musical elements of the time. And he raised it to such a high level because of his writing. It has become and still is one of the greatest works of Western culture.
Soloists from the Arcadia Chorale?
Absolutely. So we are lucky and fortunate that we have such talented singers from the chorale that they're not only good choristers, but they're also soloists in their own right. And we have almost two handfuls of individuals who are joining us doing solo work. We have Rebecca Elfman, soprano, Gabriella Tellerico, soprano, Lauren Picotti, soprano, Donnie Dorenzio, who's a countertenor, is singing an alto, the penultimate aria in the piece. He's doing a lovely job. Meredith Hudak-Huvenier is another alto. I invited Colin Doyle. Colin Doyle is not from the area. He's from Philadelphia. He's our tenor soloist, and he'll be joining us. We also have Patrick Fisk, who's a tenor in the ensemble. He's doing some small ensemble work. We also have Paul Doherty, who's a bass, and John Keir, who's a bass. So those 8-9 members coming out of the chorale are also doing the solo work, which is fantastic. And we have been working with them since January. And typically how I've done work like that, I've really asked them to work independently. We come sort of later together. But we have been working since January regularly on the repertoire because it's difficult. And we need to spend time with it and to do it the justice that it needs, the performance practice that it needs. And my goal with the solos and small ensemble portions of the Mass is to almost make it seamless in the process of when we come in with orchestra, instead of having things be a surprise in some ways because we haven't had time. I purposely didn't do that. We have spent quite a bit of time, and I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for those soloists as well as our accompanists to make that happen. And I should say that I'm grateful for the board for allowing me to do that, because it allows, I mean, that costs money and time, and they understand that it needs it. And so we're fortunate to, we're all working together to make this happen and make it happen in a wonderful, joyous way for our community.
Matthew Rupsich, music director and conductor of the Arcadia Chorale, speaking with us about the 38th annual Northeast Pennsylvania Bach Festival, hosted by the Arcadia Chorale, performing the weekend of March 29th and Sunday, March 30th in Scranton. Three concerts and one lecture. And we heard that we'll be fortunate to hear from Dr. Sarah Davies, and she will be talking about Bach's Missa Tota, the creation of a legacy to help us open our ears before we get to hear the Mass in its entirety. And that's Saturday, March 29th at 3 o'clock at Elm Park United Methodist Church, 712 Linden Street in Scranton. And then following her talk will be an organ recital with Trent Johnson, and that's at 4 o'clock at Elm Park. The chamber music concert with members from the Arcadia Festival Orchestra, artistic director Tom Heinz, will be Saturday evening at 7:30, that's the 29th, at Covenant Presbyterian Church, 550 Madison Avenue in Scranton. And then on Sunday, March 30th at 3 o'clock, the Arcadia Chorale and the orchestra will present the Mass in B minor by Johann Sebastian Bach at Covenant Presbyterian Church, again, 550 Madison Avenue. For more information on the web, arcadiachorale.org, arcadiachorale.org. There will be a discount for WVIA members, and students are free. Thanks, Arcadia, for that. Again, the Arcadia Chorale of Northeast Pennsylvania will hold the 38th annual Bach Festival, March 29th and 30th, a Saturday and Sunday, three concerts, one lecture, and the lecture, organ recital, and chamber music concert will all take place on Saturday, March 29th. The first two, the lecture and the organ recital at Elm Park United Methodist Church, Linden Street, and the chamber music concert with members from the Arcadia Festival Orchestra will be at Covenant Presbyterian Church. And then Sunday afternoon at 3, the Arcadia Chorale and the Arcadia Festival Orchestra will present Bach's Mass in B minor under the direction of Matthew Rupsich. For more information, arcadiachorale.org.